Thank you, Lord. Well, we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and specifically we've been talking about understanding our righteousness in Christ, to know the reality of our righteousness in Christ. And so I think we'll probably get done with that tonight. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. Kind of, we went through some things pretty quick at the end of last week, so we're going to go back and go through some of that again and in a little bit more detail. And I think we'll likely finish up then this and go on to the next part. But why don't we turn over quickly to James 5:17. We were over there. James 5:17. Actually, go to 16. Well, let's just start in 15 because we read that last time, and then this will give us the full context of what we're talking about. So James 5:15, it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Verse 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah, verse 17, "was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Now, verse 16, it says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, if you were just looking at this, somebody could ask the question, well, if you're righteous, if you're a righteous man, then your prayers will work. Because it says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, so they work. So then the question becomes, what's a righteous man? And are you righteous? Because if you're righteous, then you know your prayers will work. If you're not, then you have a problem. But that's a basic question, because if you know that you are righteous, then you could just look at this verse and say, okay, then when I say something, when I go to God, then it's going to happen. But this is, like we were talking about last week, this is such a battlefield here, because if the enemy can convince you you're not, or you're not able to ask God or to take authority over a situation for whatever reason, and basically steal your confidence, then it doesn't matter what you are. If you act like you're not, you're going to have the same results as if you're not. It doesn't matter that you're righteous. Just like it doesn't matter if you have $1 million to your name, if you don't pull the trigger, you know, and use it, take it out of the bank, write a check, use your debit card, whatever, it's not going to do you any good. It doesn't matter if you're a multi-billionaire, same thing. On the other hand, somebody that knew they had $1,000 could put that to good use and do more than you that had $1 million or $1 billion if you don't use it. And this is happening sometimes because, get this, some people they don't understand what we're talking about here, righteousness. They'll look at somebody that maybe doesn't seem to be walking out everything the way they ought, and maybe this person thinks they got it more together, but they'll look at them and the other person's getting more results than they are. Why? Because they could actually understand this to a further degree and a better degree and understand that they are righteous and actually use it and stand on it and believe it. And then somebody that thinks they've been walking, some of, you know, those people that think they've heard this for 30 years and say, well, I know all that, it just doesn't work. I haven't figured out how to make it work. Well, if we can't figure out how to make it work, then it doesn't do us any good. And really, it's not that hard. But the enemy tries to make it hard. He tries to make you just, you know, looking around at you guys, I know a lot of you have heard things like this maybe for years. But hearing it and just having it in our heads doesn't really do us any good. Because when push comes to shove, if we actually go to use it and we're not really convinced of us being actually righteous, but what's really in our head is how we blew it in some way, then I don't care if you've heard it for 50 years, it's not going to do you any good, because again, you won't pull the trigger on it. You won't actually, you don't believe it to the degree that you can use it. And what happens is right here, this says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This, what we'll get into here and go into a little more detail, we read some of these scriptures, but we're going to go a little more detail here, is in verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. The King James says Elijah, it's just translated different there, was a man subject to like passions as we are. I like the way it says that a little better. I mean, you know, the New King James says with a nature like ours. But then over here it says he was subject to like passions as we are. That means he was subject to things, being passionate about something, doing stuff that maybe he shouldn't give into, but he was subject to it. And we see that happening in the Old Testament. We read some of that. Let's just turn over there really quick. First Kings 18. Go through this. We'll go. I think we'll get through this, but this can change your life right here. If you get a hold of this, it's a very simple truth. But if you can see this for what it's saying, for what we're talking about, I mean, all together these scriptures, then this can change your life. It says in 1 Kings 18:44. You see, it says, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, this is Elijah keeps going and he's having his servant go look to see if there's any rain. Now, this is at the end of this drought where he said it's not going to rain, and then he said it will rain. He prayed that it would rain, and it's going to rain here, but he's asking his servant to go. He said, then it came to pass the seventh time, so he sent his servant out seven times. It says that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he could see way out in the sea, and there's this little cloud coming. And so he said, Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. Verse 45, and now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. So there was heavy rain, and so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. And we talked about this last week a little bit. This is Elijah. He's just done miraculous things. He's just called fire down from heaven. He's had all these people serve the prophets of Baal, taken care of. He's just outran a chariot. Jezebel threatens him, and he runs away. And then he goes, and he's basically exhausted, and he goes under this tree, and he said, it's enough. I want to die. So he just did all these big things, and now he says, I want to die. Forget it. I've had enough. And you say, how can somebody go from this high of a place down to where they want to die in that much time? Well, you can ask yourself that question. How many, if you've ever been really full of, you've just felt like you were invincible and you were on top of everything, and then something happened, day later, or an hour later, or 10 minutes later, now you're feeling like can't go on. Now, you may not have said you wanted to die, but, you know, from your attitude, you felt like, for whatever reason, this isn't worth dealing with, or this other thing isn't worth dealing with, and just forget it all, and just, I just wish it was all done. You know, maybe you've never thought anything like, maybe you weren't serious. I don't think Elijah was serious, but you said it. You know, if you looked around and saw your family and stuff, you probably didn't really want to die. Probably didn't want it to all be over. Probably didn't want, you know, any number of other things you said, but you let it come out of your mouth. It didn't mean you actually meant what you said. You said some stupid stuff, but you got there. And you may have, 2 days before, you had just had the biggest victory you've had, and you might have had this thought, I'll never doubt God again. After this, has anybody ever thought that? You got to a certain place. I know if you've ever walked with God, probably every one of you in this room has gotten to a place where something came through and now you said, God is so faithful. This is it. He has proven his faithfulness to me. I'll never doubt him again. Man, I am on top. I can see the way from here to heaven. I'm smooth sailing from here because anything that comes up against me from here on out, man, I'm just going to stand up and say, get out of my way. My God is sufficient. My God is bigger because I'm convinced. And so here we go. I am faith man or faith woman. I am solid. Anybody ever thought that before? You thought there is nothing. I mean, I know I had trials in the past. I know I doubted, but I've seen the light. I have seen the way. Jesus, I know what you were talking about. When you said to that fig tree, I mean, I see it now. I see how to do it, and I'm going to exercise it from here on out. And then an hour later, or a day later, something came in your way, and you are on the floor crying, and wondering how God is going to come through, or you're getting all mad, and like, what is going on? I just don't understand how God would let this happen. Amen? How could you do? How could you think that you had it just, there's no way, nothing could come up that would make me doubt my God? I believe. I believe you, God. Got it. I believe. I believe the word. It says it in here. I believe it. That settles it. That's it. And then you're down on, a day later, you're crying on your bed going, God, what's going on? I just can't believe it. How could you do that? Because you're a man or woman like with like passions like Elijah. Now, here's the $64,000 question. If you end up doing that, what do you do when you end up doing that, and how do you react to you having done that? Do you stay there and say, I've blown it. I've doubted my God. I just can't go on. I know what I said, but now look at me, you hypocrite. You're sitting here crying and you were so strong, but now you don't believe God, and what's the use? Do you get up? And do you think you can go on, and even right there, if you were to say and speak words of faith, would they have any effect? Or do you think, man, I've blown it. I don't have any business saying anything or doing anything for a while. I just have to lay low until I just pay for this a little bit. And just, you know, I was all the way up here. Now I'm down here. I'm just going to be kind of slinking for a little bit and just keep my mouth shut. And then after a little bit, then I'll maybe get up a little bit of boldness to start kind of believing God. And then maybe after a week or two, I'll be back up. But right now, no. See, if we do that, we're looking at ourselves and we don't really understand what we're talking about. And that's how the devil robs us. All he has to do is get you to, you may not just be crying on the bed, but he just needs to get you to just mess up a little bit. Or, you know, you mess yourself up. He didn't even. He just put you on autopilot and you went and did something stupid. But then all he has to do is come in and condemn you and make you reminded of that. And if you don't understand that our righteousness is in God, and that regardless of that, that you can still get up and believe God, then you'll be defeated, and you'll stay in the defeated mode more than you ought to. But if we can get to where we believe our righteousness is solid in God, then we can get right back up, spring forward, and realize, I'm not the only one that's ever done this. Yes, that was stupid. Yes, I've done it 140 times before. But I'm going to just believe God right now, and I'm going to act on the Word. And just like Elijah said some stupid things, yet the Bible calls him in James that he's a righteous man. Now, how can the Bible call him a righteous man when he's doing stuff like this? You know, he's all of a sudden saying, well, I want to go on. God, I want to go on. And then down in, before we go on, we'll read this too. 19 verse 10. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Can you hear the whine in his voice? I'm left alone. Nobody believes like me. I've hung on. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm it. I've believed. I've held the faith. I've towed the line. What's going on? We can get like that too. And once you start feeling sorry for yourself, that should be a flag that something's wrong. If we start feeling sorry for ourselves like that, we ought to realize, I'm meditating on the wrong thing. You know, and then God goes on and talks to him some more and shows him some things. But the point is that Elijah was called a righteous man. And the Bible says that he, like the King James said, he was subject to like passions as we are. And here we see him giving into those. See, the devil will tell you, you know, you may see some things wrong in other people, but he'll tell you at that point, you're more messed up than everybody else. You know, if anybody ever knew what you did, then, you know, there's no way they would have any faith in you. And you have to come to realize this is not making excuses for behavior. We should strive to do the best we can. But you know you. See, I don't know you. You don't really know me to the degree that you know you. I remember Andrew Womack, you said, he goes, you know, I'd go into a situation and I'd be able to pray for somebody and they wouldn't want to pray for themselves and they wouldn't have any boldness. And he'd say, that's because you know you. And so if you're looking at you, you're not going to have, you're thinking of what you did and you know what you did. So you don't have any boldness. But he said, I don't know you. And so I know me, but I'm praying for you. So and I know my righteousness is in God. So I can come and I can pray for you boldly. And that's the way we ought to be. Because if you're thinking about you, then your eyes are in the wrong place and you're not going to be effective. There's going to be something that the accuser can bring to you to bring to your remembrance that you did, either it was sometime recent or sometime a different time, or you're not doing what you ought to. And so if you're faith is there, it's just not going to be, you're not going to be able to just be as bold as we ought to. You're going to look at Elijah, well, he did that, but he didn't do all the stuff I'm doing. You got to understand that it doesn't tell you everything that Elijah did or did not do. You can't look at that. You have to just get up and say, I'm going on with God and he's my righteousness. Let's read this real quick. Psalm 32. Verse 1. See, there's a reason why we go over this stuff. I mean, I'm not just trying to... I really... If we got through this in one session, then we would get through in one session. But there's a reason why we go over these things, I think, slowly, and we go over some of this. You need to soak in some of this. You don't just get it like this. We need to renew our minds. It's not a mental thing that we just get something, we say, okay, that's it. No, we have to renew our minds to what the Word says, and that takes time. And it's good for us to hear it over a period of time and be reminded. Psalm 32, 1 and 2, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. It says, blessed is he whose transition is transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. See, in the Old Testament, their sins were covered. They weren't taken away, they were covered. And so even with Elijah, he could be called a righteous man because God covered their sins through the old covenant, through those sacrifices. He covered their sins, the shedding of blood covered the people's sins, and God could say they're forgiven, and he's imputed righteousness to them. He could say that in the old covenant. So in his sight, they were righteous. Like in Exodus, when they were leaving the Egypt, when the blood was put over the doorpost, the destroyer passed over. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the same thing. The blood of the animals allowed them to be called righteous. It covered their sin. But that was the old covenant. In the new covenant, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's different. It's not covered. It completely removes the sin. So we don't actually, it's not the same thing. See, we have a new and better covenant established on better promises. That's why they had to kill those animals, is because blood had to be shed. It happened right away with Adam and Eve. How do you think those skins that they wore, where did they come from? They had to be, something had to be killed. And the sin had to be paid for. This is a law. This is in this earth. It has to be paid for. It has to be atoned for. And so Jesus came and he cleansed us of all sin. Hebrews 1, or Revelation 1:5, just turn over there real quick. I just read it to you, but you can put your eyes on it. We'll just go there quick and then we'll go to the next verse. Revelation 1:5, Revelation 1:5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verse 17 says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, that we were made new creations in him, new creatures in Christ. There's no sin in a new creation. Your born again spirit, when it was recreated, had zero sin. There's none. It wasn't cleaned up and patched up and your spirit put back in you and just all refurbished. It was completely new. Completely. So there's no sin. See, that's not covered. Is it? So in the old covenant, Elijah could be called a righteous man, and it says in James that the prayer of a righteous man avails much, and we see that happening with Elijah, don't we? All the things he did. Have you outrun a chariot lately? I mean, what? you were just talking about, one of you guys was talking about, Usain Bolt, like, the guy that was in the Olympics, you know, he runs like 25 miles an hour. And how far was it a cheetah would have to give him a how far? So in a 100-meter dash, a cheetah would have to give him a 40-meter head start, and by then they would be equal at the end. A cheetah can run 70 miles an hour. Has anybody run 70 miles an hour? 25? No. I can't run 25. 25 sounds awful slow, but I mean, that's the fastest human being on the earth. But I don't know. You can't outrun. I don't know how fast horses run, but I mean, it's faster than a human. What is it?
I think 45.
So 40s? Well, he outran a chariot, which is being pulled by horses. So that's superhuman, right? That can't be done. That's what people say. You can't do that. But I believe the word. I don't think the horses were just going slow that day either. It wasn't that kind of condition. I think they were going pretty fast. And you know, when was the last time you called fire down from heaven to defend the name of God? That hadn't happened to me yet. No, I mean, he was exercising some stuff that you and I haven't seen. And the Bible calls him a righteous man. Yeah, he's in the old covenant. He didn't believe on the name of Jesus. You and I have been born again. In his time, they hadn't seen anything like what you and I have. No, we have been born again and washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are clean, 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 clean as it gets. But here's the thing then, is not even if you know I'm clean, being born again, it's well, what happened since you've been born again? And that's usually the problem with people. Now, some people have a problem just like you can't get over their past before they're born again. But then a lot of us have been born again long enough to know that we had a whole lot of problems since we've been born again. And the devil just beat you up over that. It's not what you did 30 years ago. It's what you did yesterday. You lost your temper with somebody. You said something you shouldn't. Will you call yourself a Christian? Look at you. Fine example you are. You might as well just sit down and go to bed. You think you're going to pray for the sick and whatever. You don't qualify. No, he's going to say all kinds of stuff like that. And then we've read, but turn over there and look at 1 John 1:9 because it says the same type of language. It's just a few chapters back. We just read that the blood of Jesus cleanses us or washed us. We were washed in the blood of Lamb. And we are washed, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, 1 John 1:9, after we've missed it, after we've been born again, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not the same as cover. You're cleansed. That means you're clean. So this is vital. And you see why this is, trying to be removed. You can't remove this because we are born again. We've been made righteous. But if we miss it, there is unrighteousness that your conscience is going to bother you. There's stuff that's come up. And why does the Bible say right there, it's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if there was none for you to be cleansed from? Now, you're still born again. You're not going to hell. But something, you have been contaminated on this earth, and you will not stand in the righteousness of God as bold as you should unless you follow the Bible. And it says, if you miss it, what do? You just say, God, I blew it. Forgive me. And he says he forgives you and cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And so now there is nothing the devil has on you. Nothing. Not according to the Word. Now, he may bring something to your head, but not according to the Word. You are on legal ground to stand up and say, no, I'm righteous. I don't care what angle you come at me, Mr. Devil. I've been born again by the blood of the Lamb, and that thing I did 3 minutes ago, the Bible says right here, if I confess that, he forgives me and he cleanses me. It's just as if that never happened. So I'm standing here just as righteous as Jesus. Period. and I can walk there. And do you realize then if I was like, I'm righteous, and I took two steps and did something stupid again, I could stand right back up and say, Lord, and that was dumb too. Now, I'm talking about things that bother your conscience. I'm not talking about you missed it and you didn't know it. If you didn't know it, look at this verse. Look at verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if you walk in the truth, light represents truth, it's his word, if you walk in the knowledge you know, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. It's just constantly washing you. That means even if you blow it and you don't know you blew it, but you're doing what you know to do, the blood of Jesus just cleanses that right off you. You don't need to know it. Now, you might realize it 10 years later and go, good Lord, I did what? Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry for that. That was so stupid. Well, Jesus took care of it. You were ignorant. You didn't know. It's not about not being born again at that point, like, oh, I lost my salvation. No, we're not talking about that. You're still born again. We're talking about that boldness and the fact that your conscience is going to be defiled, the fact that you're not going to be bold, the fact that the enemy is going to come at you and attack you that way, that type of stuff that bothers you and you know about, that's what I'm talking about. That you say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And don't sit there and beat yourself up. You go, look, I am a human. That's not an excuse. I don't plan to ever do this again, but I messed up. Elijah messed up. I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Your word says it, so I thank you. I'm done. And you just get up. The more bold you are to do that, the quicker you'll repent. See, if you wallow in it, that means you don't really believe this. And somehow you're in pride to think that you should never do it. You're just like, you're going to beat yourself up, go, I just did it again. Okay. You just did it again. Okay, so you're going to give up now because I just can't go on. I just messed up again. Well, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that we know him and we live in a better covenant, and you're not going to get stoned to death because you did that. You just get back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed it. I don't plan to ever do it again, but I missed it. But I am getting right back up, and I am going to be bold. And if you'll rely on this, right at that point, if somebody walked up to you and said, I need healing, you say, I'm qualified. I have an in with God. Why? Because of Jesus. And you can stand right in the middle of having done something. You could walk in and you don't feel spiritual. You don't think, you know, and if you're thinking naturally, you don't think you're spiritual, but you just know the word and you can lay hands on somebody even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't, all your senses are telling you opposite, and you can just believe. Why? Because you're believing the word. Because you're believing, I am righteous. And the prayer of a righteous man avails much. So God, here's my prayer right now. I have authority right now. Now, I have authority. I tell you, when you get this, your faith will go up many notches. Let me talk to you married people, or, you know, even siblings, or anybody you're living in tight, if you're just living with another person, or if you're not and you have a close friend, whatever, the enemy will use this against you when you do or say something you shouldn't with your partner or with your sibling or relative or whatever, that then somehow you can't pray in that house, or you did something wrong, or, you know, we're not qualified. Because we know, it's one thing if you did something wrong with God, it's another thing when another human being sees you do it. Is that not true? Because you feel like, well, I'm good with God, but somebody saw me do it, and I just feel that much worse because somebody, I shouldn't have done it. I said something I shouldn't have said to you. I didn't act quite the way I should have. I know it. You know it. That's why it's important to support each other and to act this way to each other. That if you come together and you forgive each other, you put it behind you. And then you can still, at that moment, see, because let's say you're fighting the sniffles or something. Let's say you're fighting, you know, you feel like a cold's coming on or something. And you get in an argument, or you say something sharp and you shouldn't. You know what? The enemy will come right away and say, there's no, you, this is, you're done now. Now you just let it in further. And now, until you get this taken care of and whatever, this is going to come on you. And then, you know, you maybe you deal with it, but then you feel like, well, I messed up, so I can't stand against it. Or better yet, let's say you didn't have anything until now you got an argument, you took care of it, but now you start getting some symptoms. You know what he's going to tell you? You were doing fine, but you got in that argument, you opened the door. And so now you got to fight against it. But you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I brought this on myself. Anybody ever had that thought? Well, see, if you know this and you act on it, then whatever I did, I've taken care of it. It's gone. Satan has no legal right. And so you can stand up just as bold, having gotten an argument and reconciled it 5 minutes ago, just as bold as Jesus could when he was walking the earth, having never sinned. Now think about that for a second. Because if that's foreign to you or you don't quite grasp it, this is exactly what we're talking about. And if you'll get to the point where you say, the word says it, that's gone right now, I'm as righteous as it gets, and so right now I can believe just as well as any time, that's when you start taking your eyes off you, start putting it on the Word, and that's when the Word will work for you. Amen?
Amen.
It will. Because why? We're relying on what Jesus did and not ourselves. And what are we talking about? We're talking about having the highest kind of faith. This is one thing. That we're righteous and how to maintain our righteousness. Not through our works, that if we do something that we know how to take care of it and we have enough faith in the Word that even though our feelings tell us one thing, we take care of it, we come up, and we can walk at a higher level. All the time. All the time. Amen.